Portland. This is Voices from the Edge, and I'm Dave Mazza. And Joanne is off on the sunny beaches of Jamaica this week. Lucky soul. So it's just solo time again for me here. But we have an interesting program for you this morning. We're going to be talking about county fairs. You know, it's that time of the year when folks often traipse off to the county fair and get a little taste of the rural life, get connected with where our food comes from and whole sorts of different sorts of traditions, sort of a sense of community there. They're important. They serve an important function in our society. Unfortunately, in the more urbanized areas of our state, the county fairs are under siege. Anyone who's been to the Multnomah County Fair recently knows it's a rather dismal affair. And it looks like the Washington County Fair is in the same gun sights, except there are local citizens who are saying no to a proposal to change the site out there, and it's a more complex thing than just saving the fair. It's a whole variety of issues there. So we brought in this morning Jody Palumbo and Linda Mokler to talk a little bit about what's going on out there, and then we'll open up the phones a little later on for folks to ask questions and find out what's happening in Washington County. Good morning, Judy and Linda.
Good morning.
And first of all, let's start off. The name of your organization is?
We're representatives of the Middle-Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government.
Does that acronym say something? Or
no. It's just descriptive.
It's a good name, though. It's a good name. Well, why don't, in 25 words or less, let's explain to the folks what's happening out there at Washington County Fairgrounds.
Well, there is a move underfoot, mainly supported by our fair board, to turn our fairgrounds into a shopping mall, basically. The fairgrounds right now are comprised of 100 acres that were purchased by citizen volunteers 50 years ago and given to the citizens of Washington County for year-round use and county fair event. And right now, 60% of that, or 60 acres, houses the current fair buildings, and the rest, 40 acres, are comprised of parking and some vacant land.
Mm-hmm.
What they would like to do is give the 60 acres with the current fairgrounds buildings on them to a developer, Opus Northwest, and then they would build a large shopping mall there. On the remaining 40 acres, they would build an exposition center and an open pavilion, which would be guaranteed by public bonds. And this relegates our county fair and our community meeting space from 60 acres that are currently in use to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in an area that is rapidly growing and becoming denser and denser with the urban growth boundary. And it's the opinion of the Middle-Aged Housewives that this is public lands and the public's using it. And we need our open space.
And obviously, if you're cutting back the space by, what is this? My math skills are not up to what they should be, but you're significantly reducing the space. It becomes harder and harder to get organizations to be excited and get involved in the fair.
Well, it is, because people who were at the fair this year know that the entire 100 acres was used to stage that fair, and cutting 60% of those fairgrounds, even more when you consider some of the other changes that they want to make, would make it impossible to have a fair of the quality that we have this year.
Now, I know with the state fair, there was the problem of crumbling infrastructure and growing maintenance costs, and it was losing money each year. Now, that's not the case here, is it? The Washington County Fair is doing okay financially, isn't it?
It appears that it is. When you look at the fair complex as a whole, right now in Washington County, the fairgrounds receives about $500,000 a year of the hotel motel tax. That's not county money. That is specifically earmarked for maintenance and capital improvements at the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Our current fair management has decided that the fairgrounds should be able to support itself and conduct the capital improvements that are needed without using the $500,000. And so really maintenance over the past few years has been neglected. And the buildings were becoming shabby, which is one of their main justifications for pushing forward with the redevelopment. The buildings are in such disrepair. However, this year, another group, the Fair Complex Boosters, part of the original group that purchased the land 50 years ago, said, okay, we will help remedy this situation. And as volunteers, those people donated all the time and the money to paint, re-roof, and bring the fairgrounds up to snuff. And they're looking really good right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to wonder why our tax money that's specifically earmarked for that wasn't used.
Well, I suppose in one way, a more important question than how's it doing financially is how's it doing in turnout? Are people attending the fair? Is it a popular place?
Last year, which is the last year that we have numbers for at this time, 77,000 people, or approximately 14% of Washington County, came to the fair. I think that's a great turnout for a four-day event. The numbers aren't in yet because the fair just ended about a week and a half ago, and so we probably won't know for another month or so what the turnout was this year. But I was there three out of the 4 days this year, and there was a fantastic turnout. It was packed all the time.
Well, that's terrific. That's terrific. I mean,
and the county fairgrounds are, you know, there is the four-day county fair event.
Mm-hmm.
But those fairgrounds are used for other events throughout the year, including the Hardy Plant Society sale, Rain of Glass sale. There's exotic animal expos that are out there. And these tend to be the medium-sized shows that are priced out of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington County is a great place for them. We have people traveling from all over the county and even from Clark County and other counties to come to these events. So we have a great turnout for the Washington County Fair, and if the fairgrounds were being utilized to its fullest extent, we could have even more of these very fun shows that draw a lot of people.
And also, the fairgrounds are used during the week by groups like 4-H, the FFA. There's dog training groups that come in and use parts of these facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they're community groups, and they use these facilities because they're open space. They're a place where people can come with their animals and do what they need to do.
In a way, they fall into the same category as community centers do. I mean, it's a focus
right.
point
mm-hmm.
for people to come and engage in other activities.
Right.
I can remember driving out there on Cornell Road, and the fairgrounds were indeed in the rural area. There was the airport, you had the fairgrounds, and a lot of open fields. That was the pre-high-tech rush out there. Now it's pretty industrialized, or pretty urbanized, I guess I should say. Playing devil's advocate, why not move it to a more rural location or change the face of it in light of the fact that it's no longer a rural area?
Well, we think Hillsborough is kind of the center of the county,
mm-hmm.
and it is the area where, I like to say, east meets west. The urban east butts up right against the rural west right there in Hillsborough. And so it's the ideal spot to have the county fair. And I think with a little bit of ingenuity that they could bring in maybe some more high-tech exhibits to mix in. The fair could possibly be 5, 6, 7 days long, more like the Clark County Fair. And they could bring in more urban events and things that interest urban people along with the rural events that they're hosted there now.
And the area has become more built up. Making the open space and the relief from row house upon row house, strip mall upon strip mall, even more important to the livability of
mm-hmm.
our community. Now, you know, we have the MAX line that runs right through our fairgrounds. It comes right up. We have the fairgrounds MAX stop there. And that was put there for the benefit of the community, the citizens of Washington County, to use that land for a community meeting space. It was not put there to benefit a private developer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that we really have to keep in mind, whereas we're not anti-growth. I mean, that, but we are for balanced growth and realizing that there is very much a need for open spaces. There are other locations in Hillsboro that would be suitable for another shopping mall. It does not need to be at a public facility that the public is currently using.
Mm-hmm.
We're using it.
For folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBLO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. This is Voices from the Edge. Joanne is on vacation, but I'm here with Judy Palumbo and Linda Mokler, who are members of Middle-Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government. And we're talking about the efforts to transform the Washington County Fairgrounds into something other than a fairground, and what this group is doing to try to stop that and preserve a successful and valuable asset to Washington County. Let's talk a little bit about, this is not an easy battle to fight, in part because it's multi-jurisdictional, right? You're dealing with county commissioners, City of Hillsboro?
Mm-hmm. Planners, the Planning Commission.
Planning Commission's involved. Who else? Is there's a fairground, some sort of fairground?
There's a fair board mm-hmm. that is appointed by our county commissioners that is tasked with managing the fairgrounds.
What's driving the OPUS deal? Where's that coming from? Is that coming out of the county commission?
Well, now, you would think that would be a fairly straightforward question.
Mm-hmm.
However, it becomes more difficult. Our county commissioners have interpreted an exclusive management policy of the fairgrounds to mean that the appointed fair board, the appointed seven-member fair board,
right.
has a very broad control over this, including, I guess, the disposition of 60% of our fairgrounds. And so they're trying to stay very hands-off of this whole thing. However, they do appoint the fair board members, and it is actually land owned by the county. So in a way, I think they're trying to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was the county that came, the county commissioners that came forward and requested that the city of Hillsboro rezone the land to allow for commercial development.
To re-examine the issue at the now mm-hmm. canceled meeting.
Right.
And the city of Hillsboro has been placed in the middle. The county commissioners and the fair board have not gone to the people. They have not had any public hearings. So much of this is being conducted under executive session
mm-hmm.
that we have no idea how far the plan has really progressed beyond what has been made publicly available. There haven't been any updates for 8 months.
No, and we keep being told that they won't tell us anything until the land has been rezoned. And so we're kind of in this catch-22 position of having to assume that things are as they are stated in the publicly available documents right now.
Most of which are nearly a year old at this point.
Right, mm-hmm. But we know there's been continuing negotiations with OPUS, so we really don't know what we're going to get. We are very concerned that we will be in the same position that the people in Cedar Mill are in with the Walmart right now, which is once the land is rezoned, it becomes very difficult to then legally say, no, you can't build something here if the land is zoned appropriately for that.
Right.
And so we probably are happy that this meeting was canceled today, the rezoning hearing. We're not sure where that's going to take us yet, but that was our huge concern, is that the land would be rezoned for commercial development.
And the text amendments that we have seen allow on this property big box retail development, everything from lumber yards and furniture stores to tractor sales.
Which is what OPUS does, is builds a sort of retail
Right.
Developments mm-hmm. relying on generally on big boxes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or at least a few of them as the anchor stores.
Yes. And it should be pointed out, I think, that, you know, Opus and the Washington County Commissioners recently finished a deal at Bridgeport Village out in Tigard,
yes.
in which the county commissioners did not come out as well as they thought they were going to. So it's the same group of people. And it was not a stellar result for the citizens of Washington County. The county ended up losing or leaving on the table, as some people like to say, $6 million. And they had in the press said that they expected the Bridgeport deal to bring in $150 to $100 million. And so where we get from $50 to $100 million to $12 million, when the starting asking price was $18 million, you can characterize it how you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same company. It's the same county commissioners. And we're really very concerned about what's going to happen out there.
Well, understandably so. You know, I used to live in Washington County and worked on some county issues and have certainly not seen the commission ever really come out of these deals well. They always end up giving away the store. They end up, you know, saying they can't disclose the facts while they're in negotiations. And with the types of deals you end up with, it's understandable that they don't want to disclose the facts. So I know where you're coming from. For folks just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne is off in Jamaica having a good time right now this week. And we're here with Judy Palumbo and Linda Mochler, who are members of Middle-Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government. And they are trying to stop efforts to convert portions of the Washington County Fairgrounds into a mall development. And if you'd like to join us in that conversation and have questions for them, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And I no sooner get the numbers out of my mouth than we have a phone call. So let's bring the caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Good morning. You're on the air. You're there.
Good. It happens that I live almost down the street from the place you're talking about. And I know that there is an Albertsons next adjacent to the fairgrounds on the corner that is abuts everything there. There is a very new, within the last year or two, a shopping center across the street that has a Marshalls, a Petco, or something like that for pets, and a Dollar Tree, etc. And then there is just on the other corner, the third corner that is not the airport corner, other shopping places and shopping down the street going west from the fairgrounds. And then there is a Costco at the other major corner of the airport and Brookwood, which is a main thoroughfare, basically. I know the open space, it's good that it's actually, hopefully that I understand if my visualization and the information given that it is that it is fairground property. I think it's extremely important that this space be reserved for open space and that there not be another shopping mall. That's what the word mall says to me. I think that's the general consensus for the definition of the word mall is shopping. I don't see that it's realistic to have to push out again, compete again, crush again the businesses which are already there on Baseline, which is a few blocks, literally a few blocks away. There's already a small corner stuff coming in, I think it on Brookwood and Baseline. And then at 231st, I think it is, a few blocks to the east, there's another shopping area of small businesses coming up. And so the previously quiet open space, treed, tiny meadow areas are being destroyed, are being filled with homes and businesses, which I don't really see a true need for.
And that's
kind of the 7-Eleven style size places in both of the places on baseline. I just don't think it's cool. I think it's wonderful that people have come in and roofed a building or two or whatever that means. And that's not cheap. And so when you say you've done roofing and other building construction maintenance activity, you're laying out some money. And it's regardless of who's paying for it. I don't quite get it why the county or public monies wouldn't be used to pay for structures that are county benefiting the people of the county. I wasn't real clear when that, because I was listening via a less volume on my radio, so I wouldn't interrupt with being able to speak here.
I think it's
sort of like, and there's another dimension. Just this week, I noticed in the Argus a blurb about the fact that Hillsborough has been given some kind of grant and taxation. You guys may know more about this. Taxation break for construction and equipment in the downtown area, that is Main Street area of Hillsborough, areas over on Cornell and Cornelius Pass Road area. I think that might, and then maybe some other places, another place in south west, I think it is, Hillsborough area. Please enlighten the rest of us as to more detail on this. I'm suspecting that this and rezoning the area for something other than fairground activity. I think the rezoning, this grant that Hillsborough has gotten, along with the accompanying push from contractors who want to create malls, are all at play. I don't know a whole lot. I'm just smelling the air.
Well,
and that's the nostril particles, and don't know the formal name for what circulates in the air that creates our, that is scent.
Well, thank you, caller. We're going to have
these are elements that should be brought out.
We're going to have to move on now, but we'll let the guests reply.
You know, she brought up some really, really pertinent facts. What's going on now is that the Opus One, Opus Northwest, they're subsidiaries of one of the other. And the Fair Board and the County Commissioners are requesting the City of Hillsborough to make a legislative change to the comprehensive plan. Right now, retail is prohibited on those lands. And they need to go about and change that. This is a big deal. And in order for them to get that change, they need to prove, the onus is on the applicants to prove that there is a necessity to have retail in that location. And as a caller rightly said, there's a Costco less than a mile away. There are several shopping strip malls right there in that general vicinity. What we do not need is more shopping. What we do need is open space and a fairground.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to pause you here because the folks down at the FCC require us to say at this point that you're listening to KBOO Portland. And for folks who are just tuning in, the FCC doesn't require this part, but for folks who are just tuning in, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza, and Joanne's on vacation. We have here Judy Palumbo and Linda Mochler, who are members of Middle-Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government, and they're fighting to preserve the Washington County fairgrounds being converted into yet another shopping mall. And if you want to join us in this conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And we do actually have some more callers on the line, so let's bring them on while you're here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I'm for the fairgrounds being developed as an open space, because most of the year it isn't used because it's not, money hasn't gone into it for it to be like a usable park. The county commissioners are not known for having open space areas. That particular space, the fair itself, years ago, my kids would take goats to the fair, and the fair does not last that long. So for most of the year, the other things that come to it, I think there's like a Cinco de Mayo celebration. There's lots of little things that have happened in the past. It did get really run down. It's in an area that's being developed. There's two rather large malls right close by, so that if anyone's saying there's a need for a mall, there is not a need for a mall. There's two malls right down the road to the west. The airport area, it looks like money's going into that area. They've got a new fancy motel and a restaurant. And I can see the county commissioners are not open. You can't get information from them. They don't really have open hearings. It's very difficult to come up against the Washington County government. They are the most difficult, I know, because I've done a lot of petitioning for, we took many petitions about the Patriot Act 2 to them, and they wouldn't even hear it. They're just not interested. I would imagine any developer who's as big as this Opus company or whatever is probably already got, the deal's probably already done. It's depressing, but that's Washington County. Washington County's into bringing money in quick to the county coffers. And I think I love these women. I love the name of your group. It's great. Good luck. And, you know, that area is a really neat area to be an open park space area, but it needs help. I would use it all the time if it was easy to get in and out of, and if there was something, you know, enough grass to, you know, to put a picnic blanket on. But I don't think Washington County cares at all about open spaces. I call Hillsborough the armpit of Washington County because not because of the smell, but because of the darkness. All of us are in the dark about what the big money people are doing because we don't have the connection, and they are. They go to the courthouse, they make their plans, they announce what they're going to do, and then you just go, what? Why? How did that happen? But good luck. I am so for that area staying open space. And there's plenty of malls right close by. So needing a mall is not a good reason for using that for commercial, changing that to commercial. Anyway, good luck.
Thank you.
Do you have any comments before we move on to our next caller?
Just on the lack of public input and public policy, we keep coming back to that. And in a number of issues that we're, local issues that we're encountering, this seems to be the
common theme.
Common theme, the major complaint with regards to the fairgrounds specifically. You know, you probably don't know. The county commissioners and the fair board took this before the Hillsborough Planning Commission last October. And the Hillsborough Planning Commission said, hey, don't put us in the middle of your fight. They specifically suggested that the county commissioners and the fair board go out and hold a road show, mm-hmm. Travel around the county, present their ideas.
They wanted them to talk to the citizens and find out what it was the citizens wanted.
And 10 months later, there have been no public hearings whatsoever on this. And then they went back to the city and wanted them to rehear their case. I think they're really going to need to open this process up because it is public land, mm-hmm. and the public has a right to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have many callers on the line, so let's bring the next one up. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Bravo, bravo to you, woman, for caring and doing. I know I've been wanting to take my low-income family with disabilities and some of the members biracial to the state fair, I guess it's called, at Salem. And I found a flyer. Well, I mean, I found a booklet hidden, sort of hidden in at Safeway. And I looked at it, and I saw that in it, you can't buy tickets at the gate, and you have to buy them through a ticket agency. And we have no car or anyone to take us there. And there was a package probably for middle-class types from out of the Salem area to come there by train or something and stay at a motel or something and then have free bus transportation to the state fair. I am so disgusted by what has happened, by a lot of good things in this country, by the schmucks. They've been corporatized or destroyed. But anyway, power to the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ellen. We turned on the radio.
Country by the schmucks.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a question for our guests?
Yeah, I want to know what we can do. I'm about to leave the house, and I want to find out what they want us to do.
You know, what really needs to occur right now is a raising of the public awareness. The county commissioners, the fair board have been very good at keeping this under wraps. They've, you know, it's our impression that they have been trying to push this through without any public input. As signs went up around the area in Hillsboro announcing the meeting that was supposed to be for tonight, they canceled the meeting. As soon as they found out that the public might show up, you know, the housewives handed out 2,000 flyers at the county fair, and they realized that, oh my gosh, the public
knows what's going on.
Might actually turn up and ask us some difficult questions. Huh. So I would encourage you to write your county commissioners. You can get their email addresses online at the county website.
Uh-huh.
Write to your city planning department, your city councilors.
I'm in Beaverton.
Okay, write a letter to the editor. Let them know. Let the county commissioners know. And, you know, even if you're in Beaverton, it's county property that's within the city limits.
Uh-huh.
You can write to the city councilors and say, hey, look, there has not been a public process for the residents of Washington County. I'm in Beaverton, but I still need a public process. I'm against this. Please don't do anything until this has gone before the citizens of Washington County for review, for input, and for a determination of how we, the citizens, see our land.
And you're welcome to show up tonight at the...
Show up where?
At the barbecue at the Hillsboro Civic Center. There'll be a barbecue and rally. We were planning this, well, the boosters were planning this prior to the meeting tonight. The meeting was canceled, but the rally and the barbecue has not been. So if you want to show up at the Hillsboro Civic Center, that would be great.
And at what time is that?
5 to 6:30.
And we should make it clear that we are the middle-aged housewives for livability and open government, and the boosters is a separate group with... similar concerns, obviously, with regards to the fairgrounds. And we support their rally, and we support their barbecue, and we have a coming together on this. So,
do you have a phone number or a website?
You know, the Middle-Aged Housewives have a website, and since we are the Middle-Aged Housewives, it's being put together. It's currently under construction by one of the teenage daughters of the Middle-Aged.
We can't afford to pay anybody. We've used freebies for everything.
We've got to get our resources where we can. And Dave has that right in front of him.
Yes,
and we also have an email address that people can send questions to.
And that website is http://.
Yeah, it's hard for me to hear.
Okay, how's that?
Real loud. Louder. Okay.
All right. The website is MID-HyphenAGEHousewives.CJBCJCJCharlieJohnBoy.net. And the email is MID_AGEHW at yahoo.com.
And also the Fair Boosters have a website, which is fairboosters.com,
mm-hmm.
that you can go to and see their vision.
Fair Boosters. Booster.
Okay. And we support...
.com.
Is it Fair Boosters or Fair Complex Boosters? Try both of them. Like we say, we're not part of their group, but it's either fairboosters.com or faircomplexboosters.com, and they actually have a alternate vision of the land, retaining all the public land for the public.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And we'll have the websites at KABU after 9 a.m., so...
Okay,
folks,
thank you, Dave.
Yeah, they can call in at 503-231-8032. Let's get on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to say kudos to these women for their voice and the public awareness. I also live in the area, recently moved here 2 years ago. I don't feel like I really have that much that I can voice being a newcomer to the area, but I wish I could get involved, and I will at some point. My concern with Washington County is the growth that they're having. I also agree they do not need to have more shopping area along that strip of the Cornell area. My concern is Washington County is allowing all this housing in this small space area, multi-housing, and... they're not concerned of the schools in the Hillsborough area. And like you said, the public space for these children to be able to enjoy someday. It's like it's growth, and they're not looking at the true development of the area.
Yes, absolutely true. And as to being a newcomer, you know, you've been here 2 years. Hillsborough has doubled in size over the past 10 years. So 50% of the people are new to the Hillsborough area. And we cannot say, you know, move to our town. But once you get here, don't voice your opinions, don't talk, and don't get involved. It doesn't work that way. So I'd like to encourage you to go ahead and get involved and voice your opinion and be, you know, more active. You certainly do have a valid voice if you live in the Hillsborough area.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. This is Voices from the Edge. Joanne's on vacation, and I'm wishing I were, although I'm having a wonderful time here with Judy Palumbo and Linda Mokler, who are members of the Middle-Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government, and they're taking on Washington County government, which wants to tear down the fairgrounds and put up some more box retail outlets, because we know we need more places to shop and drop. So give us a call if you want to join the conversation, 503-231-8187, and let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Oh, thanks, Dave, so much for taking my call, and thanks to your guests.
Oh, you're
you
welcome.
You know what? Maybe we ought to have them franchise in this wonderful system of ours. I don't know. You know, people always tell me, I see things, you're just too simplistic in your thinking. You know, my deal is that peace is not profitable, wars make money, that kind of thinking. But people like to say, oh, things are so complicated, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know. I'm over here in on the Vantucky side over in Clark County, so I know exactly what the building, the developing, you know, blah, blah, blah is. We have this wonderful livability, which we no longer have because everyone came here for the livability and bought crap from other places with them. You know, and reasonable growth is one thing. Normal growth is one thing, but force feeding is something else. And shop, shop, shop. There needs to be places where people can get up off their fluffy couches and do things, not just shop, shop, shop. And I don't know, I've seen things, my son and I are talking about this, from the hunter-gatherer, it's not evolution, it's evolution. We have come from hunter-gatherer to slickster-scammer. Think about that. And then to the women who are involved in this, this is something I've been thinking about with you know, some people, or most people, I guess, are not comfortable unless they're surrounded by stuff and noise. The stereo's on, the radio's on, the TV is on, three TVs are on. You know, they're surrounded by noise and surrounded by stuff. If you look in homes, instead of being, you know, fairly Spartan with what people, you know, with our necessities of life, there's stuff. Stuff. Clutter and stuff. Oh, there's a little space over here. Let's put an item of decor. And that's what I see with developers and these people. They are not comfortable. They're not comfortable with anything that would give them peace and serenity.
And not make money.
And not make money. Money brings them peace and serenity, they think. I don't know, just a thought. But think about homes that you've been in. And I look at these, you know, the starter castles and the McMansions and that sort of thing. And it's like, they're so ugly. They're big and they're ugly. It's like, I look at them and I think, what style is that? Well, they couldn't decide what style to go with, so they used all the styles in the building.
Yeah, and you know, and you're right, because, you know, in art and in composition, it's positive and negative space. Negative space being empty space, and both are important in urban planning and in interior design.
Well, before we take on our next caller, I want to remind folks that there's a very good reason not to touch the dial and leave it on 90.7 FM the rest of the morning. That's because at 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, host Marianne Baransak, Baransonic, interviews Dr. Helen Caldicott about her new book, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. At 10, Carlos Chavez hosts Chicanismo. He speaks with a representative from Human Rights Watch about human rights violations in detention centers. At 10:30 on Art Focus, host Julie Bernard speaks with artist Zachary Kircher, whose work is included in the Oregon Biennial now at the Portland Art Museum. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, the Justice Department has ruled FBI agents were justified in the fatal shooting of Puerto Rican independence leader killed, during a raid on his home. Oil industry watchdog Chuck Hamill asked questions about whether BP purposely allowed its Alaskan pipeline to become corroded. Also, scientists are trying to control one of the worst environmental disasters ever to hit Lebanon. And a progressive activist grills Israel's ambassador to the United States on Israel's targeting of civilians and use of cluster bombs in Lebanon, Israel's nuclear arsenal, and its lack of adherence to United Nations Security Council resolutions. All that between now and noon, so stay tuned to KBOO. And let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I was reading about, there's a different county. I'm just going to leave it at this. I'd like to keep an eye out for sweetheart deals between between economic interests and politicians. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I think that the... fair is great. It's an important cultural connection with the past. Not that the past is always good. I mean, some things about the past, but the livestock exhibits and so forth. I guess I wish it was a little more rural than it is. I'd like to see maybe a few less food booths. And I wish KBOO would get a showcase their country western programs out there somehow. I don't know, play that. I'd like to see more country western and bluegrass music live or whatever. But I think it's sad that they want to put another mall in there. I don't know. I've lived in Oregon all my life. I grew up with the Pacific International Livestock Exposition in Portland. It's just a wonderful part of culture at that time. You know, I mean, people brought animals from all over the western United States. It was one of the biggest in the country, but those days are gone forever. Harsh Investment Company is what we're culturally dealing with now. But anyway, great program. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Any comments?
I have to agree with them. It's a wonderful opportunity for children like my children who don't live on a farm but love looking at those animals and mm-hmm. wandering around, and you can talk to the people that actually raise them. They talk to other children that are raising animals and who live on farms. This year they got to watch a cow give birth while we were at the fair. That was quite an eye-opener for all of us, and it was just a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very experiential in a good way.
Well, you know, too, the other parts of it is not just the agricultural stuff, but I like the fact that local politicians come and feel that they, you know, here's an opportunity to talk to their constituencies. They do that maybe more at the state fair, but local, you know, a lot of times the local politicians will show up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's also kind of, it's a place for, you know, political ideas get tossed around. There's signature gathering and what have you. I mean, there's all sorts of things that go on at a county fair that, you know, kind of brings a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we certainly have, especially, for example, with most of these malls not allowing a lot of public activity on their property anymore. You can't circulate petitions, or if you, they have a certain little area where you're allowed to do it, usually, you know, in the far back 40 of the shopping mall. I mean, these are not really open places anymore, and, you know, open space is important. So it's important, the work you're doing, to preserve that. Let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. I guess I was wrong. We do not have a caller on the air. That was our engineer, Rich, just reminding me that I failed to watch his hand signal there. So, sorry, Rich. Let's talk a little bit more about what you're all facing here. You've got this big rally that's going on tonight.
The Fair Boosters are hosting a community barbecue at the Civic Center, Hillsboro Civic Center Plaza, which is right out in front of the new Civic Center on Main Street in Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 5 until 6:30.
It was supposed to run until the meeting started.
But the county commissioners have decided that there was too much interest and too much public input, and that was just not a good thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they only canceled the meeting officially last night at the Planning Commission meeting. The Middle-Aged Housewives, our organization, handed out 2,000 brochures. We did not get names and phone numbers, and so it has been, and the same with the Boosters. They were active at the county fair, and they also had a booth there.
And we've put up 100 signs around the area announcing the meeting. So.
And so it's going forward, and the barbecue should be a lot of fun. Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom Bryan was the fellow who stepped in and said he didn't want to see any more divisiveness in the community, and that's why he canceled the meeting. Tom, sure.
It's funny how they define divisiveness as public interest.
Yeah, you don't agree with me. That's divisive. So the next step would be that county hearing whenever he decides to reschedule.
Yeah, from what we understand, it'll be at least 20 days from the time they request it from the city of Hillsboro until it gets on to their meeting schedule. And I've spoken to the Hillsboro Planning Department. That is the standard format,
mm-hmm.
Seeing as they have requested two hearings from the city planning department, have stuck the city squarely in the middle both times,
mm-hmm.
and canceled at the 11th hour this time. I'm assuming that it will really take the 20 days. I mean, it did take the 20 days from the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I think it's important to continue the public awareness, for people to keep calling and asking what's happening, to try and find out what the deal actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we're afraid of is what the commissioners are calling a cooling down period is really what they hope will be a public forgetting what's going on period.
Right.
And they can then slide this through with very little public exposure. And we hope not to let that happen.
Well, you know, they've been wrong on that count before. They've miscounted just how upset people are about what's happening in their communities. So it sounds like that may well be the case here, especially now that the, you know, middle-aged housewives are on their case. I'm sure you're not going to let them go. Well, look, it's been really great having you on the program, bringing out this issue. It's an important one, and I really admire the work you're doing. It's important, too, for us to be looking beyond our own little Multnomah County, Portland enclave here and recognize that, you know, there's a lot out the metropolitan area that we should be more aware of what's going on. Like I said, I used to live out in Washington County, and it's a beautiful county. There's a lot of great stuff out there, and too much of it's going under the, you know,
under the bulldozer,
right, exactly. So, well, like I said, we'll have your website and all available for folks who want to call into the station later on after 9 a.m. They can get the contact information, and in the meantime, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Thanks for having us today.
You're welcome. And for folks just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza with Voices from the Edge, and we're going to move into our next section here. It's kind of the same thing, talking about public participation, and I'd like to throw out the thing that's happening with our own city council in limiting testimony. As some folks may know, there's been a decision by the city council to change the process in public testimony, and they're going to be hearing this on August 16th to make the final vote. What's happening is that our current process basically allows people to come in at the front end of the city council hearing and to sign up for 3 to 5 minutes of testimony. Can be on anything they want to talk about. Doesn't even have to be limited to city business. It could be talking about, you know, international affairs. Well, it seems that some of our council members, and undisappointingly, Mayor Potter has been miffed by the fact that some people seem to come up and sign up for that time more often than others. And they may be, say, people who are a little more, dramatic in their presentation skills. But anyway, it seems to be folks that are getting on the mayor's on his case or making him angry or whatever. And so that consequently, he introduced a proposal that they would limit the amount of times a person could testify before a city council. That, you know, you basically get once a month shot at it, and then you'd have to wait another month before you testify. And they're claiming that you know, they're tired of losing all that time being wasted. What we're really talking about is 15 minutes, you know, 15 minutes a day. And officials who, by the way, work for us, making these sort of decisions as to whose statements are more valuable than others. So there's been sort of the Oregonian, of course, has kind of looked at this like this is a good thing because, after all, we're looking for efficiency in government. I guess we want to make the trains run on time. But, you know, democracy is a messy thing, and folks just have to kind of own up to that. So let's talk about that a little bit. If you're interested, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Should we follow the mayor's lead? Should we restrict the rules for public testimony at the front end of the meetings during the consensus agenda, which is what they call it? Or should we be saying, wait a minute, we need to keep our government open, and even if the folks are coming up there with silly things to say, hey, it's a democracy, and part of being, you know, silliness is a part of that as well. So give me a call at 503-231-8187, and let's hear your opinion on that. Like I say, it's been real disappointing because Potter has been really good on a lot of things. He's certainly shown more interest than the previous mayor in trying to get folks to be involved. He's come up with a variety of public meetings, doing various things, and to suddenly go ballistic on this one little piece is really too bad. And well, we do have some callers. Good. Let's bring the next one on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning again, Dave. You're flying solo. You're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you.
And the thing is, you may have seen the guy, the one particular fellow with a hat and the dark glasses that made a religious habit of it to come to every meeting and blah, 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 about things so abstruse and so meaningless, and then holding up signs that say Bush sucks, among other things, and just a clown, a buffoon. And I think that's what got under the... Or that was the bee that got into the mayor's bonnet. Say that. Yeah, seeing Potter in a bonnet would be funny. Anyway, but the argument the idea that he's got that says the Potter's got that says once a month you're shot is only fair since this is the only open forum we've got, and it's been unfortunately it's only fair in light of the buffoon that would go there and make it his tiny little soapbox.
Well, I agree that there's that problem that, you know, there are those people who are looking for whatever spotlight they can, and how do we deal with that? Well, I suppose one possibility would be on the day of the session, newcomers get preference over somebody who's testified.
Is that fair then too? I mean, that's another option. But is that fair too, or do we strike a lottery type of deal? I don't know. Really crazy. I've heard that bandied about, that people would sign up for a lottery to be able to have their 3 to 5 minutes in front of the council.
Right. I mean, it is. We're just talking 3 to 5 minutes, and you know, I think
which in radio is forever. You were off the air for about 90 seconds about 7 minutes ago, and I think probably a lot of people tuned away.
Ah, you know, I thought we were having a little problems. I could tell I was like picking up some odd sounds here. So,
I mean, actually, I guess what it is like this fellow, and I forget his name, but you could fairly say anecdotally that this fellow, 3 sessions is all it takes for him to get his 15 minutes. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot now. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. This is Voices from the Edge. Joanne is in Jamaica taking a well-deserved vacation. And we've moved on from talking about the county fair to talking about the mayor's proposed ruling on public testimony at the beginning of council sessions. Give us a call at 503-231-8187 if you want to join us in that conversation. Let's move on to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Dave.
Hi.
I had an opportunity to go before the council recently, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it regularly. Kind of like I'm a regular caller here to KBOO, and I try to follow the idea of not calling in regularly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I try, I knew I can get carried away with calling in too much. So I decided, the old personal responsibility, not calling with every issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, this thing with this, the time that I went before the mayor and the city council, it was on an issue that I'm particularly involved in. Spent a lot of time in it. And most of the council knows that. I haven't gone before the council while Potter has been mayor, but I'm well-versed. I've got viewpoints that I think are pertinent. And I went before the mayor, and I got my 3 minutes. And I don't think the mayor was pleased that he just had this look on his face like, oh, who's this guy? And I was really kind of disturbed by that. And I said, I don't agree with the mayor on this. I think he was prejudiced. I don't know what it was, but just the look that that I was expressing my viewpoint. It was about development here in Portland, and I wasn't even disagreeing with him on the overall position, and it was a unanimous decision on a particular issue, and the mayor acted like, who is this guy? And so, you know, I'm just going to thumb my nose at the mirror right for this one, okay? Okay? I think he's wrong. All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, well, thanks a lot. And, you know, we got to just remember, it's not about whether they're comfortable with us. It's not about whether they like what we're saying. It's the fact that they need to be reminded who is ultimately supposed to be running the show. They are there as our elected officials and representatives, and they need to be willing to just kind of get over this and put up with it. If anything, I think we need more public testimony before meetings. Let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm calling because it just seemed a little odd to me that somebody could, I'd never heard of this, that somebody can just come and talk about whatever. I live in Beaverton, and I've gone to a couple of city council meetings there, and it seemed like, first of all, there wasn't very much interest from the community in even showing up. And also, it seemed like they were pretty strict in limiting the discussion to staying on the topic of whatever it was that was being discussed and making sure that they kept a tight rein on the time.
Mm.
And so I just thought that it was important to call in and sort of find out some more about this, because I don't know much about it, but it does seem like 3 to 5 minutes is a fair, but I would say that probably I think it would be more fair to have it from once a month to maybe once per topic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be able to speak more than just once per topic to give your testimony, and then whenever the next topic comes up, you are free to give your next testimony, and that way everybody has a chance, especially if there's any busyness. But I don't, like I said, in Beaverton, it doesn't seem like there's much interest in even showing up to the meeting.
Well, I've been to Beaverton City Council meetings, and I think especially in the smaller municipalities, there's that tendency to not want to, you know, they kind of view it as a business sort of thing rather than as this is supposed to be democracy at work, so. But, you know, Portland is now moving to one of the more stringent and restrictive speech rules now on the West Coast. San Francisco has far less, in Seattle and Los Angeles have less restrictions on public testimony before council. And again, I think, you know, we're in a democracy. More public input, even the stuff that some people may think is silly, is the direction we should be going and not choking it off. So, thank you, caller, and we're going to move on because we've got some other folks on the line. Let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I like the sound of what the mayor's done. You know, if you want to have the city council meetings like Pioneer Courthouse Square, let's go down there and hold them there, you know, when any mentally deranged person can monopolize the thing. That's an extreme portrayal of what's going on, I'm sure, but these people aren't totally restricted. They're just forbidden from monopolizing, it sounds like to me. I mean, you know, you can make a travesty of democracy, you know, by, you know, I mean, Portland's got a big, I guess, anarchy side to its, if that's, you know, to it, you know, mm-hmm. If that's what you want in City Hall, well, I guess go for it. But I like what the mayor's done. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, you know, that's part of giving out your viewpoint in democracy, is there should be disagreement and different perspectives. I do want to point out, we're talking 3 minutes here, so if our democracy can't withstand that, we are in trouble. Let's move on to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Would that be me?
That would be you.
You know, I've been asleep for a while, but I've you know,
I do that to folks. I'm sorry.
Come to, no, I mean asleep politically.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of like, you know, waking up, and it's kind of a rude awakening. And, you know, I just, it, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? But it just seems to me like when these guys are running for office, everybody's like running around talking about the candidates and what they stand for and who are we going to vote for. And it seems to me like the bottom line really, which would make us more effective in terms of questioning these guys and in our selection of who to vote for, is if we as voters read the city charters. Because in lies their power, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point. I think that
I think we'd get, we would be caught less with our shorts down or going, what the hell? Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I was out at Home Depot, and I noticed a collection of police officers in nice, cute little summer uniforms. And then about 50 yards away from them was a nice little collection of ATVs. And they were out there getting ready to practice riding their ATVs. And it's like, I'm going, somehow I don't feel like I had a hand in that expenditure. You know, what the hell are they doing? Where did that come from? Or this thing where they just go out and buy all this camera equipment to put up in intersections, or the nice little handheld ticket generators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't hear about any of that coming down the road. You know, I don't know that I was able to participate, and somebody would probably point to me and say, oh, it's right here in the charter. We have the power to do this because blah, 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 you know. It's like, you know, who's... It's like it's the between the lines kind of stuff, and it's all there in the charter, and they use it to their advantage all the time, and we ain't paying no attention.
Well, you raise a very good point. I mean, you know, granted, it's difficult for, you know, the average citizen who's trying to make a living, keep a roof over their heads, and feed a family and what have you, to keep up on all of this stuff because it is a literal deluge of information constantly changing, but still.
Well, I mean, these candidates,
yeah,
they're never telling you, the voter, well, hey, if you want to be more effective, read the charter. There's charter at every level of government, it appears. Federal, state, city, county, organization, I believe. Does the police department have its own charter?
Well, it has, you know, rules.
Is that part of the city charter?
It's part of the city, yeah.
You know, they got us running around with our heads cut off. And they ain't telling us. The people that are in office ain't telling you that to be more effective, you should read the charter. And I think what you guys ought to do as the media should keep overemphasizing that. Hey, let's do a program here. It's going to start at the end of September. And every day for an hour, we're going to go through the charter.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. I like the idea. I agree with you wholly that we need to be much better educated on these sorts of things. Because if we don't understand how the machinery works, how are we going to know when it's, you know, it's breaking down?
Well, we might not like the way it's written.
That's right. That's right. And
you know, where if at one end somebody does A, B, and C, it gives somebody else down the road in another organization the right to do D, E, and F,
mm-hmm.
and the two of them together make something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just appears to me like that's happening. I wish I could be more methodical, you know, with it. But and maybe there's another caller out there in radio land who has who's pretty savvy and who has studied the charter more than the rest of us would get on, and that would be interesting too.
Well, good points made. Appreciate your call, and like I say, I think that's a good message to get out there, folks, that we should be looking at opportunities to become better educated.
Read the charter, you idiots.
Okay. Well, maybe a little softer message than that. So.
Well, I don't know. I think we all need a slap in the face right now.
Well,
all right, man.
Thanks a lot now.
Bye.
You take care. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza, and my co-host Joanne is on the beach in Jamaica enjoying herself, and we're here carrying on the struggle without her. We've had an interesting morning so far. We had a long discussion with the middle-aged housewives for livability and open government who are fighting to save the Washington County fairgrounds. And, in fact, folks are calling in who'd like to know how to contact them. Let me give you that website. It's mid-age-housewives, all one word, AGEHOUSCWIVES .CJB Charlie John Boy .net. And their email address is mid_AGEHW@yahoo.com. And that's the Middle Aged Housewives for Livability and Open Government. And they're having an event tonight, which if you go to their website, it'll tell you about some big barbecue, and they're working with some other folks who are trying to protect the fairgrounds. I assume there'll be lots of information out there if you want to get involved. So, and after 9 a.m., if you want to give us a call here at KBOO, we will also have that contact information available. That's 503-231-8032 is the number you want to call on that one. So, let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was at a Plan the Future of Tualatin meeting, you know, with the public recently. And they told us after we'd been there a little while that we wouldn't actually be able to propose any actions for about 8 months. We were just supposed to just sort of discuss.
Whoa.
And what I was trying to mention to them or say to them was, when it comes to the future of the city, people need to be able to vote in general on it. What I mean is, instead of the land use laws, for example, being changed by developers and officials, it could only be changed by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that way people would feel like they had real authority to decide the future of their city.
Makes sense.
And they'd be more willing to take part and come up with ideas. But instead of feeling like their votes don't mean anything and all that, and not taking part in all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, I think the problem with a lot of our public process is that people don't feel like they're really part of the process. I think they feel, a little bit like they're being manipulated, you know.
Very much so.
Kind of a feel-good thing. And the more chance people have to get in there, even if they don't actually get to vote, I think it's just, if they actually are having a chance to, you know, go on the record, it's important, as opposed to some of these things where you just feel you've been locked in a room for a while and they've let you venture spleen, and that's it, and they move on and ignore whatever it was you had to say.
Yeah, we feel like we're window dressing sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that a lot of the regulations, a lot of the federal statutes that require participation doesn't necessarily say it has to be real meaningful participation, and so there's this whole kind of culture of public process that's been developed. There's consultants that's all they do is work, you know, they hired on by the counties and the cities or the states to develop, quote, public participation plans. And, you know, it's kind of a canned sort of thing nowadays. We know that we'll be called into a room. Well, there'll be some brainstorming and people putting little check marks next to ideas and things like that, which, you know, all good and final, but somehow the final process never really reflects, you know, the things that we put up on those marks that we've made on the board or whatever.
Well, I was I went away to Eastern Oregon for about 10 years, and I had taken part in some of those, you know, land use meeting kind of things before that. And basically they were saying to us, this is not going to be L.A. It's not going to look like L.A. Well, I come back after 10 years, and I was shocked immediately to discover it looked an awful lot more like L.A. than it used to look like.
All I was missing is the palm trees.
I felt lied to.
Well, more the reason for us to have more voice and more opportunities, whether it's, you know, city planning or what have you. So that's, I think, the answer there.
I think when it comes to the vision for the overall city, the framework, people need a direct general vote, because otherwise things get changed behind the scenes and people feel manipulated and disenfranchised and all of that. And, well, I should get off for the next
call
here. Thank
you. Well, thanks a lot for your time and your ideas. And for folks who are listening in, want to remind you to not touch that dial, because we have a bunch of good programming coming up at 9. Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch. And as always, she'll be giving you the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, host Marianne Baronsenik. I am sorry, Marianne. Interviews Dr. Helen Caldicott about her new book, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. At 10, Carlos Chavez hosts Chicanismo. He speaks with a representative from Human Rights Watch about human rights violations in the detention centers. At 10:30 on Art Focus, host Julie Bernard speaks with artist Zachary Kircher, whose work is included in the Oregon Biennial now at the Portland Art Museum. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, the Justice Department has ruled FBI agents were justified in the fatal shooting of Puerto Rican independence leader killed during a raid on his home. Gee, that's a surprise. Oil industry watchdog Chuck Hamill asked questions about whether BP purposely allowed its Alaska pipeline to become corroded. Also, scientists are trying to control one of the worst environmental disasters ever to hit Lebanon. And a progressive activist grills Israel's ambassador to the United States on Israel's targeting of civilians and use of cluster bombs in Lebanon, Israel's nuclear arsenal, and its lack of adherence to United Nations Security Council resolutions. All that and more coming up on 90.7 FM KBOO. So keep the dial where it is and stay informed the rest of the morning. Well, we're coming down the last stretch here. We've been talking about a lot of different things, but kind of related. I mean, the fairgrounds and the public testimony. We're talking about access to public place, access to public space, access to our government, our place for us to come together and feel like we're part of a community, and for where we're reminded that, you know, we're the foundation and the source where this all comes from. And those spaces are disappearing too much. You know, the fairground, like many other public places, are being replaced across the country with retail centers, private property, places where, you know, they make a mockery of the idea that people do more than just consume. You may have this little table set aside, like at Lloyd's Center. I know during signature gathering time, they have a little table way in the back corner that they put you, you know, place where nobody ever comes. Few people who manage to be looking for restrooms may come back that way, and then of course they see the petition clipboard and they run away. Well, that's not really helping to nurture and put forward a sense of community. That's happening more everywhere, and it needs to stop. Same thing in terms of our ability to have access to our elected officials and talk to them. You know, as it is, we have to, well, fortunately, I will say this with city government, we haven't had the array of security devices put in place that we have with some, in some places. We don't have to go through the humiliation of being scanned and probed and poked and jabbed to make sure that we, you know, aren't a psychopath going in wanting to kill one of our elected officials. But still, you know, something as small as this issue about the agenda discussions of the citizens being able to come in and just talk about anything. I think, you know, it's an important thing. And yes, some of those people are irritating. I know, I get calls like that at the Alliance from some folks who, frankly, I really wish they wouldn't call because they are irritating, but I also just have to, you know, let them have their say, and as long as they don't cross the line of acting in a responsible manner, you know, I let them have their say. And I think, you know, our elected officials owe that and a little bit more to all of us. And I'm also uncomfortable with the idea of people trying to decide, you know, who's acceptable and who's not. Well, I think Rich just waved his arm. We might have another caller. No, Rich is now shaking his head. That means we don't have another caller. So we're getting close to the end of the program. But August 16th is going to be the final vote on this issue with the public testimony. If you happen to be in a position where you can go down there, sign up to testify and let the mayor know what you think about that. Give him, you know, give him a pat on the back for the efforts he's done so far to increase citizen involvement and giving us more voice. But also, you know, tell him he's just a little bit off the mark on this one. We need those minutes. And, yes, it may be something that he doesn't want to have to sit through. But, you know, every job has aspects that we don't like. And, you know, most of us can relate to, oh, no, we don't want to go to that meeting, or, oh, no, I don't want to have to sit in and listen to my supervisor tell me this or this or that, but we got to do it because it's part of the job. Well, Mayor Potter, that's kind of what's happening, is your supervisors, the people of Oregon, or people of Portland, are just checking in with you and letting you know whether you're doing a good or a bad job, or just telling you kind of what's going on. It's like having your boss drop by with that cup of coffee in his hand by your cubicle at the beginning of the day. We'd rather it not happen, but there's not much you can do about it. So, anyway, we're wrapping up here. I'm Dave Mazza. This has been Voices from the Edge. Joanne will be back next week. Turn on out. Let the city government know what you're doing, and don't give up your rights. All right. Have a good day now, Portland.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 on your FM dial in Portland, Oregon. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, host Marianne Barasinic interviews Dr. Helen Caldicott about her new book, Nuclear Powers, Not the Answer. At 10, Carlos Chavez hosts Chicanismo. He speaks with a representative from Human Rights Watch about human rights violations in detention centers. At 10:30 on Art Focused, host Julie Bernard speaks with artist Zachary Kircher, whose work is included in the Oregon Biennial, now at the Portland Art Museum. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, the Justice Department has ruled FBI agents were justified in the fatal shooting of Puerto Rican independence leader killed during a raid in his home. Oil industry watchdog Chuck Hamill asked questions about whether BP purposely allowed its Alaska pipeline to become corroded. Also, scientists are trying to control one of the worst environmental disasters ever to hit Lebanon, and a progressive activist grills Israel's ambassador to the United States on Israel's targeting of civilians and use of cluster bombs in Lebanon. Israel's nuclear arsenal and its lack of adherence to United Nations Security Council resolutions. And now we'll have a message.
Join KBOO Saturday, August 26th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for its annual book and record sale. This year's sale will once again be held at the Musicians Union Hall located at 325 Northeast 20th at Sandy. KBOO presently needs your donations of books, LPs, CDs, DVDs, VHS tapes, and all forms of media. Please bring them to KBOO, located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in downtown Portland, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or you can arrange a pickup. please call KABU at 503-231-8032, extension 510, or email kjd at aesthetics-usa.com.
I'm George Takei. Exclusion and resistance on Crossing East.
Angel Island was known at the time as the guardian of the Western Gate.
One year they say you're white, but not Caucasian, and the next year they say you're Caucasian, but not white.
And it was clear that America was telling the immigrants that we don't care about you and that we blame you for our welfare ills.
Crossing East on this radio station.
That's next Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on KABU 90.7 FM.